Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see everyone here. A bunch of world changers shaking the world. You know, we never despise, you know, Tim always says, don't despise small beginnings, you know. But the truth is, you're on a path that's unique. You're blazing a trail that you are, not just the prayer center, but you are on the walk of the Spirit. I want to talk a bit about that today, because if we don't look closely and break up some of the way we look at ourselves, then you might not understand what's going on with you. And you might get under the impression that you're failing instead of succeeding. A lot of times people are succeeding and they think they're failing. And it's because when the work of God starts to work in you, it starts with your inner man, with your spirit, and not with your flesh. Much of the church has designed their progress, success, through using the natural man. And the further I get with the Holy Ghost, me personally, the more he asks me to put aside my natural tendencies, my natural abilities, and to lean on and allow the inner man, the spiritual man, to grow and mature. And so we want to talk about that. I remember I was preaching at one church. I was invited. There was a guy who knew me from one church, told another pastor he needed to have me. And this pastor, he's one of my favorite guys in the world. He is if we were in the Old West, he'd be a gunslinger. He'd be the type of guy that would take over the town. He moved into a little town in northern Michigan, and they had the biggest bar up in northern Michigan in that town. I mean, it was a big bar. It had a McDonald's in the bar. It had a huge platform. The sound system was $500,000, I think. And it's a beautiful building now. It's called the Barn. And up in the middle of East Jordan, I think God's getting ready for a revival up there for sure. Well, this pastor, he's a gunslinger. He's a shoot first kind of guy. Run, God said it. He runs right into it. And his services, like, if you think I'm calm in the way I preach, he's the exact opposite. And I remember the first service I went up to preach, he had said, well, bring him up here. He trusted my friend. My friend said, you need to go up there. So I trusted him, and he kind of took me up there. He'd never heard me preach. And he said, I want you to come up here. And so I went up, I started to preach. And as soon as I started to preach, he looked at my friend and said, can he stay all week? Because he felt the anointing of the inner man, the spiritual man. He felt his inner man jump with excitement for what God was doing. He told me, he said, I don't know what it is about you, but I know it's right. And we've been great friends ever since. And see, there's a man who, on a personality level, is the opposite of me. He's outgoing, he's crazy. You know, the way he preaches is different than I am. Not doctrine, but he loves the people. He loves God. He noticed the similarities in of the spirit, I might say. He noticed the similarities of hunger for God. And so whenever we hear a church service, someone sing for God, someone preach for God, someone lead for God, many times you can lead by the natural man, and you can follow the natural man. Or you can lead by the Spirit and follow by the Spirit. So pause there. Let me break this down a little bit. When I say Spirit, it can be so confusing because the word Spirit can mean, in the Greek, it can mean Holy Spirit. It can mean new nature. It can mean your inner man, your inner body. It can even mean demonic spirit. It can even mean how encouraged you are. You have spirit, you know. And so the only way to really know what when we're talking about spirit is to see it in context, you know. And so when I say spirit, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit when you lead by your spirit man. Your spirit man is made up of the new nature, and the new nature brought to life your inner body. So the moment you're born again, your inner body has been, the battery to your inner body has been replaced with a dead one that produced darkness with a one that produces light. So thank God we have a new nature. Amen? But that means that our inner man, the spiritual body that you have right now, is alive. And that's what allows God to speak to you spirit to spirit. The reason he couldn't do it before was because your inner man was dark. It was had a dark battery, a dark new nature, old nature. But it was replaced with a new nature. So now your inner man is alive, which means that you have a spiritual body, a spiritual brain, that can now understand God and know God personally. Say amen if you're still with me. So a lot of people confuse the new nature with the inner body. They say, well, I used to, when I first started learning things, I'd say, yeah, I need to grow my new nature, mature my new nature. Well, the new nature is complete, amen? It's all of Jesus. The full image of Jesus is in you right now. It's complete. But it has to grow. You have to take the knowledge, the image of the new nature, and bring it forward into your inner man, so then you can mortify the outward man. Say amen if I'm still making sense. Well, it's important, because if we skip over these things, so many people are confused. They say, well, I'm praying in tongues and God's speaking to my new nature. Well, how many have a puppy dog? A few of you, how many have a cat? I got to get an amen from Angie and Kevin there. Yeah. So when you talk to your cat, you ever watch people, they talk to the cat and dog like kids? Like, oh, good, 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 good. Are you talking to the dog or the cat? I don't know if a cat even pays attention to you. Do you got food? No, never mind. Yeah. When you talk to that animal, are you talking to the nature or are you talking to the animal? See, a puppy dog has a nature, but you're not speaking to the puppy dog, you're speaking to the puppy. Just like your children have a nature, but when you talk to them, when they learn in school, they're not feeding the nature, they're feeding their person, them. And so when the Holy Ghost teaches you spirit to spirit, he's not teaching your new nature. Where does that information go when I teach you something you don't know? I share something that you don't know. Do you know Canada beat the United States in a war? You didn't know that, but it's true. You didn't know that, but now you know that. So where does that information go? Yeah, true American over here. I'm ignoring that. That's not true. But see, that goes into your natural brain. That's information. Well, when the Holy Ghost teaches you spirit to spirit, where does that information go? It doesn't go to your natural brain, but it goes to your spiritual brain. And because your spiritual body, your spiritual brain is alive because the new nature lit it up, it now can be renewed in the knowledge of God, because all the dark knowledge it learned with the old nature has been erased, and now it can learn the truth of God. And you won't forget it for the next billion years. We'll be learning something new about God every single day. Every single day we'll go, oh my Lord. He'll go, yes. It's like, I didn't know that about you. That's amazing. So you have an inner body, an inner man that needs to grow and be renewed in the knowledge of God, has to grow in God, mature in God. So the inner man is what matures, not the new nature. The inner man, the inner body, the inner mind is what contains the information that the Holy Spirit teaches you every time you pray in tongues. Say amen if you're still with me. Not the natural man. Jesus said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. I will not leave you as orphans. He dwells with you. You know him, but he will dwell in you. So what changed that the Holy Spirit has been around forever now can go inside of a person? Is that their new nature brought to life their inner man, and now the Holy Spirit can dwell in us instead of outside of us. So nothing changed on God's part, but everything changed on our part the moment we got born again. See, we can diminish the power of salvation in two ways. We can diminish it by saying, you know, I'm born again, praise God, I'm going to heaven. And we can diminish it by saying, I got it all the moment I was saved. See, how many know we have to grow and mature in God? So what part of you grows and mature? Are you learning for your natural brain, learning things? Because if you are, he could have taught it to us beforehand. But the difference is that now that you're born again, your inner man, your spiritual body is brought to life by the new nature. So that's where all the information goes. You ever been witnessing and all of a sudden you get this scripture pop out of your mouth? Wow, I didn't know I knew that scripture. The Holy Ghost must have just shared that with me from heaven. But that's probably not what happened. Probably what happened was you had learned that scripture somewhere, and because your spiritual mind has the ability to understand God, you don't forget things. You don't forget your keys. When we're in heaven, we won't forget where we placed our keys. We won't forget the names of people we meet, because our spiritual brain has the capacity to remember everything that God teaches us for eternity. So a trillion years from now, we'll still be learning new aspects of God, but we won't forget what we learned today. That's truth. That's spiritual. If it's not spiritual, your spirit man rejects it because it knows God. It knows God as a father. Your outward man does not know God as a father. So when we pray in tongues, when we worship God, we can either worship God in the natural man or from the spiritual man. See, the natural man is going to be replaced. When the trumpet sounds, then in an instant, if you're on this earth, in a twinkle of an eye, you'll have a new external body called the eternal body. That eternal body is not at war with the inner man. Every child born from the design of Adam, Adam was designed to live and operate in both worlds at the same time. To operate in the spiritual realm and in the natural realm. That's why he can talk with God, fellowship with God, see God, and also see the cow and the animals and his wife at the same time. When Adam sinned, that nature turned dark, turned his entire being dark. Now his flesh, his outward man is dark, his inward man is dark. And that is the seed that passed down that copy to every person born. So before you were even saved, you were a spiritual creature. The people that aren't saved, they're spiritual creatures. How many know they live forever just like you do? The only difference is if you get a new nature, you live in a better place in eternity. But if you don't get a new nature, you still live when your body is buried. You still live forever in your spiritual body. So unsaved people have the same spiritual body that you have. You had it though your whole life. You were born with it. And that's why we know of people who are witches and Satanists. And a lot of the Eastern religions learn how to tap into the spiritual being of a person. They have different words for it and different ways of doing it. They found that there's more to you than just what meets the eye. Well, you've been born again. So what happened to you was your new nature took out the old nature, the battery, the power source, you might say. Not that the old battery was dead like a dead animal. It produced death. It produced darkness. And so your inner man was dark and your outward man was dark. But you got born again. And when that happened, God took out that old nature that produced darkness and produced death and took it out of you and replaced it with a new nature of life that had the image of Christ. It is righteousness. It oozes. It pushes righteousness. However, it produces righteousness and brought to life your inner man, not your outward man. It left your outward body to death. And that's why this outward body is rotting off of us. Where, you know, it ages every day, no matter how your faith level might be. Your hair is going to turn gray and your wrinkles are going to start showing up. I remember being a young man and looking and thinking, what's that on my forehead? And it was this little crinkle on the forehead, my first wrinkle I noticed, like, what the heck? I can't get rid of that, you know? You know, that doesn't go away because this body is left to death. In fact, let's go there to Romans 8. I will get back to where I'm trying to go here. Romans 8, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, now, what does that, let's break this down. If Christ is in you, how many have Christ in you? What does that mean? Do you have a little Jesus living in you? You know, it's got a little kitchen in there and a bedroom running around. No, it means you've got the nature of Christ, right? That's the new nature. So if Christ is in you, so you have that new battery, that new nature in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now look at your body. Does it still move? Can you still be offended if I call you names? You know, your body's not dead. But what it means, your body is left to die, is left to death. The body was not changed when you were born again. You still had that same body. The body is dead because of sin. So if Christ is in you, the body is left dark. It's left dead. Your outward man is left to darkness. It wasn't changed to darkness. It was already in darkness. It was already dead death because of the old nature that was in it before. Say amen if you're still with me. No, not enough amens. Let me go back to Romans 8, chapter 10. Let's start this again. So when you got born again, Christ became in you, but the body, the outward man, was left dead. You didn't just drop on the floor, you know, oh, they're dead. They're in heaven now. That'd be quite the altar call, you know, come get saved. Instant track to heaven. Just your body drops dead and you shoot up to heaven. And we know that we're still here. What it means is not that your body is dead like a dead animal. It means that it was left in darkness. It was left unchanged at your salvation. And that's why you got up from salvation and 6 weeks later you're wondering if you really were saved, because you still had the same appetites of the flesh that you're struggling with. Because he had to leave you in this mortal body. But don't worry, because there will be a time in a twinkling of an eye when we receive a new body. But until then, we don't need to wait until that time to mortify the deeds of the flesh. So if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Pause right there. Now think about that, what he's saying. If Christ is in you, the new nature is in you, the outward man is left dark. It's left in the way that God found you. Now you have to deal with it. Before it was you, but now you're born again inside of this outward body. The flesh, the outward body. We have to be careful with the word flesh, because it can mean old nature, and it can also mean this meat body that you're wearing, the outward man. So, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now look at here. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now this word Spirit here, I don't believe is talking about the new nature. Because the new nature is righteousness itself. So righteousness didn't bring to life your new nature. He gave you a new nature. He didn't just bring to life your old nature. He gave you a new nature. So if you have righteousness in you, which is in definition the new nature, if I were to take your new nature out and look at it, it'd just be vibrating with righteousness. Righteousness. So the only thing your new nature speaks to you is righteousness. And the new nature is complete. The whole image of Christ is already in that new nature. So it doesn't have to grow or mature. But what we need to do as Christians is we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, reach into that seed, the new nature, and we begin to pull out its attributes and bring it forward into our life. That's called the fruit of the Spirit. That we bring it forward from the new nature with the help of the Holy Spirit. We bring forward to where it becomes fruit in our life. Fruit is different than acting. Let's talk about, say, the fruit of joy. Now, I've watched many Christians, they try to be word people, and they go through a hard time. They say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And they manufacture joy, trying to joyfully overcome the negativity of their outward man. But then it diminishes. But if it's a fruit, fruit comes without effort. Fruit comes from a mature tree, not an immature tree. Fruit comes from a mature tree. So we're not trying to mature our new nature. We're trying to mature our inner man with the help of our new nature. And so as our inner man grows in the knowledge of God and matures, then fruit begins to come out. Fruit of love, joy, peace. These come from our inner man maturing. You can say amen if you're still with me. You just don't want me to go back, I know. Let's go real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm trying to get somewhere, but I want to get this foundation laid. And it may not be for you I'm laying this foundation. It might be for someone else. So please forgive me. Don't think I'm trying to treat you as not knowledgeable. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. So what's being renewed is our inner man. Well, if our inner man is complete, then why do I need to renew it? See, this is the problem that many spiritual Christians have. They have the vision that they are a new creature, but they think they're a complete creature. So they say, I am complete in him. I just need to go out and do it. The only reason God's not raising the dead, Rachel, is because you're not praying. How many dead people have you prayed for? How do you know he can't raise the dead for you? Get out there and, you know. And so I have horror stories. I should get a book of them, of preachers who broken into funeral homes and broke up funerals and all saying, God's going to raise the dead today. And then they fail and leave the family distraught. Preachers who've gone into emergency rooms and deathbed situations, blaming the family because nothing changed when they prayed. You guys just don't have faith. That's why God can heal your dad. Horrible, horrible things, because preachers have gone in, people, Christians have gone in. I'm full of Christ. I'm complete in him. Praise God. I'm going to go march into the situation and by his power, because they were taught the only reason you're not seeing his power because you're not stepping out in boldness. And I was one of those preachers in the old early days, trying to step out in boldness, thinking, I just need to be bolder. I just look dumber at the end of the situation. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. Why is my inward man being renewed? Well, we have to see, what does he mean by inward man? Well, he talks about outward man and inward man. So we don't compare. If I said to you, I'm going down to the car store, the repair store for cars, and I'm going to buy some oranges and apples, you would think, well, that doesn't quite match. That's not a comparison. If I said I'm going to the grocery store to buy, not Walmart, Walmart doesn't count, but I'm going to the grocery store and I'm going to buy tires for my car, that doesn't match. But if I said, I'm going to the grocery store, see, that's the category, grocery store. I'm going to the grocery store and I'm going to buy some apples and oranges. See, that's a comparison. And so that's why we call tall people short for fun and short people tall, because that's a comparison. We call a chubby person slim and a slim person chubby. That's our nickname that men usually do. And so there's a comparison, okay? So when he says our outward man and inward man, he's not talking about your outward body and your new nature. Because if that was true, then that would be apples to tires, trying to compare apples to tires instead of apples to oranges. See, there's a comparison here between the outward man and inward man. There are two that are similar, but they're different. They're opposing. Am I making sense? So the outward man that's perishing is this body that you're wearing. The inward man that's being renewed is your inner body, the inner man's knowledge. See, it doesn't grow in height. When it calls you an infant when you're born again, a baby, he's not saying you're short and you got a tiny little spiritual body. It's the knowledge that your inner man contains. It's all about spiritual knowledge here. And so your spiritual man contains spiritual knowledge. And that's why when you were witnessing to someone and Scripture came forward, it wasn't necessarily the Holy Ghost telling you. It was coming from your spiritual mind, most likely, that it held that spiritual truth for years or decades. And it just came out because it was needed. It was necessary at the moment. So our inner man is what's being renewed day by day. So why am I renewing my inner man? I thought I'm complete in him. Well, we can tell by your lifestyle you're not quite complete in him yet. We can tell by your struggles, and I'm pointing my finger at you, not at me, your battles, your financial battles, your health battles, your ministry battles, your calling battles, your all the battles, that you're not complete in him and neither am I. Well, I thought I was complete in him. Praise God, I'm complete in him. Many people try to worship God with this, God, I'm complete in you. Hallelujah, I'm done. And they try to build a life with God where he accepts them the way they are, rather than understanding you're in a battle the moment you're saved. See, your inner man, your inner body is a twin of your outward body. Or I could say, though, your outward body is actually the second twin of your inner body. So if I were to compare your inner man and outward man, they would look identical, maybe a little thinner on the inside, hopefully a little younger looking. But the inner body is connected to the outward body, the hands and toes. So your outward body has a brain that's connected to your spiritual body. That's a brain. You have a spiritual brain. It used to be dark, but now it's alive. You have a connection in your emotions. Inner man emotions, love, joy, peace, these are emotions. When you run around heaven without your outer body, how many know we have emotions? We'll be jumping for joy. We're in heaven, not standing there emotionless. Well, where's your emotions? In my body laying on the ground. But your outward man has emotions. Your outward man has a will, has desires. Your outward man has ambitions for itself. But your inner man has desires too. But the desires of your inner man are always only what God wants for you. Say amen if you're still with me. Now, before you were born again, let's look at the picture. Your inner man, you were standing there. And that's another amazing thing, you. God's so amazing that he was able to take you and rebuild every part of you to where in the end you are completely a child of God. Nothing of Adam is left. But he didn't erase you. He didn't just, because a child of God is a different species than a child of Adam. But he didn't erase you. He didn't just say, hey, I'm taking B, I'm going to destroy you, and then I'm going to make another creature here, a beautiful another creature, and I'll just call her B. But B disappeared, and we had a new B. We had a new person. He didn't take Rachel and say, Rachel, I'm just, thank you, you got born again, Rachel, zap, she's gone. And then we have a new creature here, child of God, and we're going to name her Rachel in honor of the old Rachel. But Rachel disappeared, and we have a new person standing there. No, you existed during this whole transformation. What an amazing miracle it is that God was able to do this. I think it took more creativity for this process than creating all of heaven and all the universes together. Because it was done legally, the devil can't take it away. So the outward man and the inner man used to be best buddies. They used to understand each other. They used to like each other. They used to be in total agreement with everything because they had darkness running through them. Now pause there and let's think about that. That means that the nicest person you know that's not saved, the most loving person you know that's not saved. How many know people who are not saved that are loving? We're like, yeah, they're more loving than most Christians, you know. How many know unsaved people who are kind, who are gentle? But see, all that kindness, love, and gentleness is produced by darkness. So as kind and loving as it is, it's still not from light, it's from darkness. So it doesn't compare to what the new Christian could walk in, the potential you have as a new believer. All the knowledge you had before you were saved was filtered through that dark nature. So your inner man had nature of darkness in it. That's the knowledge of darkness that was in your inner man. But the moment you got born again, God took out that old nature of darkness and started you with a new nature of light. And that's why you are now a child of God. You're born again. That new nature brought to life your inner man, your spirit, but left your outward man, your body, to darkness. So now the two twins that used to hold hands and be strumming through life together perfectly are opposed to each other. Your outward body is now fighting your inner body because your outward body was left dark with dark knowledge, dark emotions, dark desires. Your inner man is now alive with light heart, light emotions, desiring the will of God, desiring the emotions of God, desiring to grow in God. So why does our inner man need to be renewed? Why does our inner body? Because the knowledge that used to be there, That renewed word, I've struggled with that so much. Like, he didn't say we need to build new. That would be fine. You got a new inner body. It's good. Just build it with new. But it says renewed. See, it can't be renewed my natural brain, because he could have done that before I was saved. So the renewing of knowledge is for our inner man. Why? Because the knowledge it used to contain when it was dark was erased by the lightness. And now is waiting to be filled with knowledge of light. And with that knowledge of light that you gain, you can then contradict the outward man's knowledge of darkness. Say amen if you're still with me. So where do we get knowledge of light from? You can answer that question. It's not a trick question. Where do I find knowledge of light? The Bible's a good place, yeah. Where else? It's from God. Truth that God has right now, he desires for that truth to enter into the earth. But it can't just come because he wants to. It has to be brought down and then spoken. So your inner man now is light. So it receives light. It feeds off of light. It feeds off of truth of God, but not off the truth of this world. And that's why it's so important we pray in tongues, because that is an instant transportation of knowledge from God's mind to your spiritual mind. And that's why you don't know what you're saying, but something is being built in there, a truth. So then you could finally look at your outward man and say, you're a liar. You're not telling me the truth about life. Be quiet. And that is what mortification is. Okay, so that's the foundation, so I can preach what I want to preach. You have an inner man that's alive, a spiritual man that is alive because of the new nature. Your new nature is complete in him. There's nothing else added to that nature. The image of Christ is already full inside of it like a seed. And now our job as Christians is to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, reach into the new nature and pull it forward. The fruit of the Spirit is so much different than acting like it. If I said you need to act holy, you need to act in love, then you're like an actor. You're choosing, I'm choosing to act in love when really I want to knock your block off. But I'm choosing to walk in love. The fact that you have to choose means that's not a fruit. Because a fruit means it can't be stopped. Go to your orange tree that's driving you crazy. When you stop liking oranges, you still have an orange tree there. It's producing oranges every year. Go tell it, hey, orange tree, this year I don't want any oranges. I don't like you. You're ugly. I think oranges are stupid. So no oranges. You understand me, orange tree? I hate you. I don't want your oranges. Keep your oranges. Don't make any oranges. And what's going to happen, even though you've cursed that tree? Oranges are going to come up. Why? Because a mature tree that produces fruit, that's all it produces. It can't stop. And so when you have to make a choice, the fact that you have to choose, I'm choosing not to go do this. I want to hit them so bad, but I'm choosing to forgive them. I mean, that's the beginning start of accepting the walk you're on. But the truth is, there's a fruit that's available from your inner man, where you've taken the image of Christ from the nature and pulled it forward into your inner man. That is such a truth, such a fruit, that you now are able to tell the outward man to shut up and be quiet, submit to the will of God. A fruit means it's there, you can't stop it. If you have to choose, then you're still in this transformation process. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own... This is verse 1, chapter 6. Let as many bondservants or slaves as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. Now, this is a heavy, heavy statement, because he's saying, if you are a slave with a master and you found Christ, that the new nature did not release you from slaveryhood. It released you from slaveryhood to darkness, but not from the slaveryhood in the natural. So he's telling them not to run and justify, stop being a slave. He tells you to be a good slave. That's pretty heavy. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because of their brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. Verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud. So if you don't agree with me, you're proud. I need to use this in my letterhead. If you don't agree with me, then you're the problem. He is proud, knowing nothing. Oh yeah, Mr. Know Nothing, you don't agree with me? But obsessed with disputes and arguments. So he's obsessed with friction. And, you know, some of us know people who are obsessed. They can't go anywhere without picking a fight. They don't feel right unless they're picking a fight about something. I don't like this, I don't like that, and then we're going to let you know. He's proud, knowing nothing, but obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is means for gain. From such withdraw yourself. So that's the line I want us to underline. Godliness is means to gain. From such withdraw yourself. There is a walk in the church world today. Let me talk about the complexity of being a Christian nowadays. I've been doing this praying and seeking God for a lot of years. I'm just now seeing things and understanding things. I remember being here for years preaching on the new nature and preaching about the truth that I learned from Pastor Dave and from the Bible for years. And one day we were having coffee, me and Pastor Dave in his car, and we're sipping coffee, and I looked over at him, and all of a sudden, what I had been preaching that I heard, I saw. I actually could see it for the first time. How many of us, that's a big difference. It's like, ah, oh, and I remember telling Pastor Dave, we were just talking about something else, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I have a new nature. I have a spirit. And he looked at me like, how long have you been with me? But I actually saw it. And so I wish I could see what I see back many years ago. And that's the power of the truth of God. It doesn't matter if a preacher preaches it. If it's a truth that came from heaven, then your inner man goes, yay, and it receives it because it's a truth that came from heaven. It can come from a man who preaches truth. It can come from the Holy Spirit teaching you. It can come from reading the Word and the Holy Ghost teaching you what it means. That is the truth that will never leave you. For the rest of eternity, you will remember it. It's a building block to more truths. And so you have an inner man, the moment you're saved, that's alive. But you have an outward man that's still in existence, but it's dead. And they're twins. They're connected. You have a natural brain that holds all the knowledge you've had since you're a kid. And you have a spiritual brain that is longing to be renewed in knowledge of light, because all the knowledge of darkness that taught you who you were disappeared, and now it is ready to receive, like a newborn baby, it's ready to receive the nutrients, the truth, so it can grow in the knowledge thereof. But as a Christian who goes to heaven, do you know you can live your whole life out of your outward man and never live out of your inner man? You can make your decisions, you can serve God, you can find a natural joy, a natural excitement, a natural emotions of pleasure, of purpose. And that natural man has been the church world, the majority of the church world, the pattern of a church that we know of in the last couple of generations, has been how to appeal to the natural man, how to educate the natural man, but ignoring the inner man. And it ignores so much of the Bible about renewing the knowledge in the inner man and putting to death and mortifying the outward man day by day. And so much of the church philosophy is about how do I attract you. And the way that I attract you is I appeal to your natural man, your natural emotions, and I buy you off with the word purpose. I'm going to help you to find purpose. I'm going to help you to feel purposeful. It's a dangerous, dangerous message because it allows Christians to live 50, 60, 70 years serving God out of their natural man, thinking they are succeeding, and they're going to find when they get to heaven, they served their flesh the whole time. That they went to church and plopped in a little flesh coin called purpose, chink, and the flesh went, yes, okay, I like being here because I feel worthy. We think the flesh sometimes is just smoking and drinking and those kind of things. But that's just the bad part of the flesh. Do you know that even the good part of the flesh is bad? Even the good part of flesh is dark. The part that wants to do good works. Because if you think that godliness is gain, then what you're saying is my walk with God is to feed my outward man what it wants to make it happy. And your outward man will reward you just like a little toddler when you always love. Our kids only did a few times, not too much, but you always enjoy. Now that you're, after your kids are grown up a little bit, watching the new mom with the real strong-willed kid going through the grocery store and right at their eye level is where they keep all the little kid stuff. And so the mom's walking the little kid through the candy section and the little kid goes, puts on the brakes, and if they ever get hold of something, it's in their hand. Put that down. No. Put that down. No. You're not going to get another chocolate bar. No. I've got it. Now the fight is on, right? And we always love watching which mom does which. Some moms, it's a quick fight. And it's over. Other moms sit there and argue with that toddler for hours, and finally they give in. All right, take whatever you want. Just quit embarrassing me. And the kids know they got you. The kids know there's an audience, and you're going to buckle. And they'll hold out. They don't care what people think as long as they get their candy. You're like, amen. I don't know anyone like that. Yeah. Well, that's like your flesh. Your flesh has the ability, your outward body. It's very personal because you're wearing it, and it's still connected cell for cell with your inner body. And see, when you were born again, the moment before you were born again, you were there. In you was you. It was your old nature, a spiritual body that was dark, and an outward body that was dark. So everyone was in agreement. This is what we need in life. This is how you're going to be happy in life. But the moment you got born again and asked Jesus in your heart, that new nature replaced that old nature. And now that new nature brought to life your inner man, but left your outward man dead and dark. So now right down the middle of you that used to be in full agreement is a fight of opposing, as opposing as you can get. The outward man is dark, and the inner man is life. And now they're fighting. That's the battle. That's the war of flesh against spirit. The war of flesh against spirit is not your outward man against your new nature. It's the outward man against the inner body that has a new nature. See? And so now you have a fight that you didn't have before, the moment you're saved. So when we say, I have a soul, which we interpret mostly as mind, will, and emotions, the better way to say is I have a soul that's connected to darkness and to light. So my mind has darkness side, the flesh, and it's an opposing side of light, the spirit. My emotions have a source of the flesh and a source in my inner body. And I have desires. I have desires in my flesh and I have desires in my inner body. That's why it says those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So let's be clear, it's the flesh, the outward man, has passions and desires. Now those passions and desires are not just smoking and drinking, because I know many Christians who are so captured by their flesh, but they don't smoke or drink. But they're captured by their flesh, because their flesh has dictated to them, this is what I need, this is where I'm going to be happy, And that's why if I were to look at you and say, let me tell, I remember when I was a young youth pastor and someone tried to teach me how to put people into positions. And this was part of the harnessing trick, is I find what you like. I find what you're good at. And then I begin to place you where you fit. Because then your flesh is happy and you're happy. See, that's part of the purpose trick, the danger, the purpose coin that you pay your flesh to quit pitching a fit. See, when someone comes to a church and they teach mortify, pray in tongues, fasting, private worship. I mean, it all sounds romantic at first, but after a week of trying those things by yourself, it's like, this is garbage. This ain't worth it. It's not worth it. When I can just go down to another church and get a coin and feel great because your natural man, this outward body, will pay you off with joy, just like a toddler will quit screaming if you just give it what it wants. I'm not moving until you give me what I want. Some of you have been, when you started coming to the message of prayer, you had to deal with your flesh like a toddler. You were going to church. No, I'm not. I'm not going to church. I hate that place. You're going to church, flesh. No, I'm not. We're going to listen to Dave Roberson. No, let's listen to someone else. And that's why messages such as God wants you prosperous. God wants you blessed. He wants you to have such an abundance that you can buy your neighbor's house and give it back to them. That's a good ministry move right there. I'll make you a deal. You get saved, I'll buy your house for you. That's good outreach. That'll work. But see, I'm enticing your natural man's desires. But you listen to Paul say, what do I tell a slave that is under a master? Do I tell them to believe to be free? He doesn't say that. He says, be a good slave. And so a lot of our enticement into the gospel, a lot of the gospel of America has been mixed and mingled with the pleasures and purpose of the flesh. To buy off your flesh so your flesh doesn't kick and scream when you drag it to church. How many know it can say amen? That say, I know what you're talking about. Going to the prayer closet. No, we're not. What? You liked it last week. That's before I figured out the inner man benefits, but the outward man doesn't. The outward man is left unfruitful. You done spent 2 hours praying in tongues. I don't know anything you said, but I'm starting to see that I'm the one who suffers, your flesh says. So it begins to pitch a fit. And that's why your flesh is happy to serve God. Your flesh will be happy to lift its hand and worship God. Your flesh will be happy to attend services and do good works. And it will reward you with the feeling, the emotions of success and happiness. But the moment you take it down a path that says mortification, it will punish you with the emotions of failure, of worthlessness, of betrayal. When I say betrayal, I have a dear friend of ours who was betrayed by their father, betrayed by good friends when they were kids in the worst ways. And now the rest of their life, they've been fighting with the thought behind every friend. Every good person in their life is only there to betray them, to pull the rug, make them think that they're for them, and then find out they're really there to destroy them. Well, that's what your flesh will say. It's all a trick. It's betrayal, I tell you. All that talk about mortification, fasting, worship, it's all a trick because you're going to find out that it doesn't work. Look, how long you've been doing it? You don't need the devil to tell you that. Your flesh will tell you that. How long you've been doing this? What good is it? What good are you? Look at so-and-so. They don't pray. They don't fast. And look what God's using them. Come on, what's wrong? Look at your church. It's small. Look at the big churches. They're successful. And we don't, I don't want to belittle any work of Christ because God will work through everyone. But there is in a church system in America that is built around appealing to the flesh of people and teaching them how to act like Christians instead of teaching them to go to God where they can grow up and mature as sons and daughters of God. Because what you'll find is that God has a specific call for you that is not found in your flesh. Your outward man most likely does not like what God's called you to be. And that's part of the torture, if I can say it this way, or the mortification process, is to be able to look at your flesh and say, you don't get to tell me what makes me happy anymore. You don't get to tell me what success is anymore. See, godliness for gain means I'm going to serve God to gain. I'm going to pursue godliness to gain. And Paul is warning them that it's a poison to try to serve God to gain something. He says in verse 4, he's proud, knowing nothing, but obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness and means of gain. From such, draw yourself. See, withdraw yourself. See, there is a drive, a pursuit of gain in your natural man. Yeah, that's why we work. We work a job to gain income. Some people would never work the job they're working if they didn't have to have money to eat. So we work to gain. The flesh is looking to do something, to get something. I'll serve God. I'll worship God. I'll go to church because the reward is purpose. Feeling satisfied. I've done a good job. God's pleased with me. The outward man, the natural man that's going to perish on you, it's going to fall off of you one day. It knows God. It wants God, but it wants God in the form of religion. I give and God gives back. I do good, I get good back. I do bad, I get bad from God. And it's a source of control. I'm in control of God because I can give him good to get good and I can do bad to get bad. But the natural man does not accept God as a father. God as a father means I give to you as my child because I love you. You don't earn it. You have to receive it. You have to believe that I love you that much. So your inner man, the spiritual body, loves God as a father, understands God as a father. But your outward man, your body, natural man, will not accept God as a father. And that's why the times that God's told you to do things, your inner man goes, yes, but your outward man goes, no. You'll hear Christians say all the time, I had peace on the inside, but great fear on the outside. How many can relate to that? So let me just pause there. Where do you think that peace is coming from? Well, my spirit. Okay, when you say spirit, what do you mean? Well, my new nature. Well, the new nature is a nature. It doesn't have emotions. It doesn't have, there's no brain in a nature. So it doesn't contain knowledge. But I can tell you, your inner man is who you really are. The inner body has emotions of love, joy, peace. While your outward man, which you're still wearing, has emotions of fear when God, you try to follow God. And so many Christians spend their life without knowing that they're feeding their outward man what it wants, so quit complaining as it tries to serve God. Your flesh will serve God, but it will not die for God. And that's the moment you start hearing a message of mortification, that you start fighting. You go home with a fight between your inner man and your outer man. Your inner man goes, amen, that was a great message. Your outer man goes, I don't like that place. That's full of wrong doctrine. And it will come up with good reasons. They didn't say hi to me. They didn't like me. The worship was horrible. The chairs were uncomfortable. The service was too long. Thank God when I was young, we didn't have iPhones. Norval would start preaching sometimes at, we'd start service at 7, 8 o'clock. We'd have the offering. And Norval would start preaching. Sometimes it'd be midnight, 1 o'clock, he'd still be preaching. And if I had an iPhone back then, access to the internet, man, my little thumbs would be playing games and amen and at the same time. But we didn't have anything, so we just had to learn to sit and cool our jets. Verse 6, now godliness with contentment. See, contentment means I'm not ambitious to change my circumstances. I'm trusting God to change my circumstances. I'm not ambitious to change. This is dangerous preaching right now. I'm not ambitious to use God to change my circumstances. I'm not doing this for God to get something to change in my life. My relationship with God is not about making my flesh happy. And that defines many preachers today all around the world preaching a message to the flesh. Your relationship with God, your service of God, your giving to God is about getting something in return. Are you tired of being broke? Then start giving to God. If you give to God, God will bless you. See, that is a giving to get something, to go to the flesh with an offering. Look, we went to church, we gave, and God gave us this. Are you happy now? I'll take my chocolate bar, thank you. Whereas godliness with contentment means, God, if nothing changes in my life, if I live in the same house, I drive the same type of car, I stay a slave under a master, if nothing changes in the outside, it doesn't matter because I don't serve you to change my outward circumstances. You are now in control of my blessings, of my promotion in life, of where I go and what I do. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. That's a place where we go to in our heart, where we can say, God, I'm only your servant. My life is yours. If nothing changes, I will serve you faithfully from the day I live, from this day to the rest of my life, because I'm not doing this. I'm not praying so I have a better life. I'm not praying so I have a bigger house. I'm not praying so I have more money, so I have more power. I'm praying to be the man or woman of God that you want me to be. And wherever that is, whether it's preaching to 1,000 or preaching to one, whether it's winning the lost or it's making money, whether it's having a church of 10,000 or going to the jungles of Africa to see one little tribe hear the message. Whatever my life is, it belongs to you. It no longer belongs to my flesh. My living in this existence is not about being happy with my flesh, but being happy from you, hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, godliness and contentment is great gain. So what he's saying here is, if you're serving God for gain, you're missing the point. But if you're serving God with contentment, without agenda, it is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Whew. This is dangerous preaching today. So do you have food on your table? Do you got clothes on your back? Well done. That's all. That may be all you ever get. Are you still willing to serve him? That's the great gain. God, help me to remove the agenda of my flesh from our relationship. Father, help me to remove the agenda of my flesh from our relationship, that my life is truly in your hands. My motives for following you and serving you is to be a content servant, that wherever you lead me, I will follow. And I don't need a reward to know I'm in your will. Help me to mortify this flesh to the place that it submits to your will instead of pushing me over and over again to please it. My life is not about pleasing the flesh. My life is about pleasing you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and we'll see you at 10 o'clock. You are released.